Good evening. I'd like to welcome you to our council meeting this evening. We will have the invocation by Pastor Ron Hobbs of the Full Gospel Tabernacle, and I'd like to ask him to come up to the podium. And I've asked Mayor Pro Tem Pete Chavez to do the flag salute this evening. Would you please stand with me?
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I've been asked to just make one quick announcement. I won't have you standing too long, but just a report on our church's food distribution this last week. We served over 300 families and ran out of food. We had over 9 pallets of food delivered to us from Community Food Bank, and we're able to give that away just with love in our hearts to the community. On a regular basis, we're going to be doing that once a month. In December, it will be on the third Saturday of the month. If you'd like to send somebody over, you're welcome to receive them there. We'd love to give some food to them. In the first of the year, in January, we'll be passing that out on the fourth Saturday of the month, and then that should continue throughout the year. So that's just an FYI. I thought I'd give you a brief announcement and not take the stand too long here. Thank you for coming tonight, and let's bow our heads and pray together. God, we come here tonight acknowledging that you are worthy of our trust. Trusting is really declaring our reliance upon you. And in you we have our hope for the future. In you we have trust. We acknowledge that your ways are higher than our ways, your plans are greater than ours, your wisdom is higher than ours, even your resources are larger than our resources. You continue to amaze us. In you we put our trust. So tonight we call upon your strength and your wisdom and resources for this meeting. We ask for your help. Where we have questions, you have solutions. Where we struggle, you overcome. Where we are weak, you are strong. And where there seems to be no way, you make a way. In you, we put our trust. We ask you to oversee tonight's proceedings at this council, city staff, and community members as they work together to accomplish your very will in our lives as a community. So in the midst of the council of many, let there be the peace of knowing that our plans are really lining up with your plans. When we follow your lead, God, we know that we have your blessing. So in you, we put our trust. Help us one and all. And in everything accomplished here tonight, may we reflect your goodness, your benevolence, and your hope. In you, we put our trust. In your Son's name, amen.
Amen.
Everyone could please join the council in the flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Here we have the roll call.
Councilmember Rapata, Celino,
here.
Betancourt,
here.
Chavez,
here.
Mayor Fast,
here. We had a closed session prior to this meeting, and I'd like to ask the city manager to give a report on that, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Our closed session was in regards to negotiations that will begin sometime after the first of the year, and at this point, council has given directions with regards to those negotiations, and that is the extent of our report. Thank you.
We also had an emergency item come before us that regarding Sierra View Homes that we need to vote to add to our agenda. Could I get a motion to add that to our agenda this evening?
I'll make the motion to add that item to our agenda.
A second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Betancourt?
Yes.
Celino?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. We have a presentation this evening from Dan Monk of the Consolidated Mosquito Abatement District. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you and good evening. My name's Dan Monk. I'm profession, I'm a University of California irrigation, soils, and cotton farm advisor. And for the last 2.5 years, I've been a representative of Reedley for the Consolidated Mosquito Abatement District. I just have a few comments just to review a few of the things that we've been doing over the last couple of years and basically who that district is, and then I'll open it up for questions if the council has any. But basically, a little over 2.5 years ago, I was approached by Scott Brockett to basically fill the shoes of Bozo Alto in representing the city of Reedley. Many of you probably know that Bozo was instrumental in having the district actually formed back in the late 40s, and was a member of that board for, well, for many years. So I've been on for about 2.5 years now. I filled about nearly a half year position that Bozo had not quite fulfilled. And then the last 2 years I've been on that board. The board is largely it's a group of, let me back up and say that the Consolidated Mosquito Abatement District has over 1,000 square miles of area that it manages. And for the control of mosquitoes and vectors, disease vectoring. And so basically our charge as board members is to oversee some of the financial activities of that board and to support the district manager in all of their efforts. So we meet on a monthly basis for regular meetings to go over some of the financial issues, some of the major programs and issues that are going on with that, including some of the new GIS technology that they're using for better directing activity in the district and making use of the limited resources that it has. So the district's doing very well. Manager Steve Mulligan is been on board now for a number of years. He's got some top posts in the country for leadership, and district supports his activities and actually being part of a national board of mosquito vector professionals. So we've got a good board, excellent staff. We've got one office here in Reedley, over on Ice Street. I don't know if you all know, but that we do have a full-time employee there. There's several seasonal employees that also work out of that office, and you know, one of their charges is to not only to look for where mosquitoes might be, but to respond to calls. Green pools are particularly a big issue these days. And as you know, all of this is to help support and reduce the vectored viruses. For instance, the West Nile virus issue, which can be a real problem. We did have one death in the district this year as a result of West Nile virus, so that continues to be a primary issue for the district. The district does provide very good regular information. There's a public information campaign that'll be going out again, broadcasting on the radio again this next summer. We had the first radio campaign this last summer, and then we also get word out through newspapers and various ways. So I've been happy to serve on that board the last 2.5 years. The district manager and the board chairman, Bruce Taylor, asked me to serve on a building committee. We're actually looking at the possibility of building a new facility in the next few years. The central office is in Selma, and it's a 1950s block construction building that really hasn't had that many improvements over the years. But there have been improvements and increases in size of the lab, increases in some of the employees, particularly with regard to some of the technologies. People, we have a couple of GIS specialists, for instance, that have been with that district now. So the district is kind of growing beyond what it can handle, and I've been happy to serve on that building committee the last year or so too. So that's sort of a synopsis of what the district's up to right now. I'd be happy to entertain any questions from the council.
One of the questions I have, one of the areas that most concerned to public is on the east side at Camacho Park, that basin that we have there. What are you folks doing with that one? And how often do you treat it?
Okay. That is actually a good question for the district. I haven't specifically been aware of that as being a problem issue. However, that would be an optimum, you know, that question should go to our local office here in Reedley. And he should be able to handle any calls and questions, because there's two basic ways to get information. One would be locally right through the Reedley office, but also calling and asking or reporting, more importantly, any control issues, whether they be a park, whether it be a next-door neighbor, a local farm that has standing water for several days where there's noticeable increases in mosquito activity. That's a normal report that the district would take, and they would act on it. They would send somebody out, and they'd take a look at it. So that would certainly be in the purview of the mosquito district's activities. Okay. There's also been an issue of terms. I guess I'm terming out at the end of the year. And it's certainly at the discretion of the council. I told District Manager Steve Mulligan that I'd be willing to serve with a 2 or 4 year term going forward. I enjoy working with the group. It's a real neat group of people, and I think we're making some headway, and I think I've done a fair job of representing Reedley.
Thank you, Mr. Monk. I personally want to just share that I've had a couple of instances to make phone calls with people's pools that have turned green, and you're correct that they respond and come out right away and usually put those little mosquito fish.
Yes, yeah, mosquito fish is one. That's one approach.
That will help to eat the larva and do as much natural work as they can, rather than applying too many chemicals. And right. I appreciate that as well.
Very good. Another information campaign we have. I just got through spending a few hours over at the Fresno Fair, and in the Ag Building there, we have an exhibit, and we do. There are public opportunities to interact with the district as well. So we kind of share that role with a few of the other districts in the region.
Mr. Monk, how often do you guys meet?
The regular board meetings are once a month. We've been adding to that about once a month or so for the building committee meetings as well.
And you mentioned 2 or 4 year term. Is it a 4 year term? Or?
I understood from Steve Mulligan, the district manager, that it's you can have a 2 or a 4 year term, but. I'm not the one that knows all of the ins and outs of this. Perhaps our city manager has more information on that.
Yeah, he can serve 2 year terms, but he can also serve multiple 2 year terms. That's at the discretion of council.
And so you're taking over for Mr. Bozo Alto.
Yes.
And how often will you give us memos from your department that we can understand what's taking place?
I've given you an annual report. Okay. I believe that comes out in about June or so.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Mark.
You.
Moving on to public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment this evening? Seeing none, we'll move on. The consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any council member like to remove an item from the consent agenda?
Item number 7.
Okay. And I'd like to, I think Joel's going to be talking about number 7, so he could probably talk about number 10 also.
Okay.
Okay. Any other items to be pulled?
Move to approve the remainder of the items.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Cellino.
Yes.
Chavez.
Yes.
Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Item 7, community recreation grants.
Would like to ask Recreation Director a question here. There was a request by Councilman Rapata for an emergency request on a $350 grant to an individual. Can you explain that?
Yes, sir. There was a request from Councilmember Rapata. I believe at the last council meeting, he talked in his council report about a young man, Jonathan Rodriguez, who had an opportunity to play in the Goodwill Games in Australia, and was seeking for some financial help. So that there was an application filled out for Jonathan. He would fall within the guidelines of the grant, the recreation grant. The grant would pay for travel and daily expenses for the trip, and also it would give this trip and experience would give Jonathan an opportunity for different colleges, around the United States to take a look at them, and also major league scouts. So it's a again, it's a great opportunity for one of our youth in our city. The grant allotment would be $350. How we can do this is the next grant go around is in April. Instead of having three grants go out, we'll just have two, because this would make four tonight.
Because this is an emergency.
Correct.
Right. All right. Because I think we've done some of these in the past.
Councilman Cellino, could I just read Councilman Rapata's letter that he wrote to the council, actually? Okay. He says, I apologize for being absent tonight. And by the way, Councilman Rapata is having a procedure done, operational procedure, so he wasn't able to be here tonight. Said, I would respectfully request that Reedley City Council consent item number 7 be pulled and open for discussion. I would request that one additional Reedley Community Recreation Grant be added and approved. I respectfully request that a grant of $350 be awarded to Jonathan Rodriguez, care of Goodwill Series Incorporated. Jonathan is a current Reedley High senior who has been offered the opportunity to participate in Australia with many other young people during the Goodwill Series baseball games, December the 15th through the 31st, 2010. This opportunity has arisen based on Jonathan's fine baseball talents and his great character. Jonathan has been a great representative of Reedley as he participated in our Reedley Babe Ruth baseball program locally and as a part of the Babe Ruth baseball All-Stars team. As well, he has played most recently for the Reedley High School baseball program on the varsity team. This opportunity will afford Jonathan the chance to display his exceptional baseball talents in front of college recruiters and Major League Baseball scouts. Such an opportunity could lead to a possible scholarship or possible even a chance at the major leagues. Jonathan's family is not of great means, and the help of family, friends, and the community are needed to make this opportunity a reality. Through many donations and a fundraiser, Jonathan is within reach of fulfilling the goal to be able to fund this trip, and this grant would help to complete the amount needed. Due to the Reedley Recreation Commission being dark in December, this issue would not have the opportunity to go before them. I ask council instead to step forward and approve this grant, as the time is of the essence. I also remind council that this will not set a precedence, as council recreation grant was once provided to a young lady to attend a cheerleading camp and competition in Florida at one time. I would like to thank you, the Reedley City Council members, in advance for having the vision to approve this item and afford this fine young man a great opportunity. This is Councilman Rapalis.
I know we do a real good job of putting the word out on these grants, and it just, we don't get a lot of applications, I guess, huh, for the money?
Well, we do get applications. We probably get, I want to say we get 6 to 8 a year. It's generally the same groups, like, you know, youth football, Babe Ruth, Little League. Occasionally we'll get, you know, the wrestling club or a request similar to this.
Joel, now, these grants, are they applied to just sports?
No, they're...
Because I think that we give them to other organizations that doesn't have to do with sports.
Yeah, it reads in the guide, encourages recreational enrichment and outdoor activity. Also, individuals. Promotes youth, promotes local activities.
Okay.
So it could be a variety of things in the realm of parks and recreation.
Actually, Council, I think you gave one of the grants to the Boy Scouts, if I'm not mistaken, this year.
Yes.
Earlier. Mm-hmm.
And I think that Mr. Rapata was requesting this donation because I think the young gentleman was short, I think, $1,000, and this $350 will help. So
it's $400 now.
Was it 400
short
now?
400.
Oh, great, great.
Are there any other questions from the council on this issue?
I would like to move.
Any questions from the public on this issue?
All right.
Go ahead.
You want to do one item at a time or both of them?
No, this
one. Okay, I'd like to move to approve item number 7.
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Chavez?
Yes.
Betancourt?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Okay, item 10.
I just wanted to just a little bit more information. It sounds like a great idea, actually. It gives you a chance to talk about it a little bit.
Well, I've been in contact with Zach Harris, who represents AMP3, the solar plant group. Just been talking to a little bit about him on, you know, how we could, you know, generate some revenue out at our airport, you know, and also have solar power out there. And the discussions are real preliminary. You know, my idea would to have 10 to 20 acres of solar out there. And then also they'd be leasing that property, and in return we generate, you know, a nice chunk of revenue each year for the airport. Plus, you know, have electricity out there from solar power. So just kind of thinking outside the box a little bit. And
it's a great idea.
You say 10 to 20 acres?
Yes.
Of solar?
Yes.
And
of a solar farm.
These individuals are asking for a half acre?
Yeah, and this is a flyer that... that he originally sent me. What we're discussing would be something, we're proposing something a little different, but we're the first government entity that this group is working with, and the first airport, and having our facility already secured and it being somewhat of a private facility, you have to have a code to get in. They feel that they can expand on the size of solar farm. So we're, again, it's real preliminary. It almost sounds too good to be true, mm-hmm. but So I'm not getting my hopes too high. But it would be a great, if this works out, it'll be a great opportunity for the airport, and you know, get us back in the black.
So it says it pays you up to $3,200 to cover your bill. What is our bill out there annually?
For electricity?
Yes.
It's about $8,000 a year.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think that's $3,200 per half acre. So if we have 20 acres, we could probably hopefully generate over $70,000 of revenue. Or around 60, it'd be 68, I think. So there is that capability. Just not sure on how it's all going to work out yet. We have to sign the letter of intent. He has to run it through his investors, and also there has to be discussions with PG&E, and then after those things happen, we'll see where we sit.
So you don't really have an idea of what the cost will be for us to help to put that together?
Apparently there's not going to be any cost from the preliminary talks.
Okay.
Correct. There's no cost to the city. The letter of intent is for them to move forward with discussions. Sure. That Reedley would provide the property up to a half acre or more in order to make this happen. And then they would be able to enter in discussions with, as Joel said, with the different utilities and with the investors.
Thank you, Joel.
Thanks.
Are there any other comments from the council? Any comments from the public on this issue? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
I'll make the motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, go ahead.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Betancourt?
Yes.
Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Okay, item 11 is a public hearing. Ordinance number 2010-07. An ordinance clarifying and superseding ordinance number 2006-07, adopted on April 25, 2006, relating to the amendment of certain time limitations contained in the Reedley redevelopment plan. City Manager?
Thank you, Mayor. Tonight our recommendation is that the City Council introduced and waive the first reading of ordinance 2010-07. The previously, in 2007, Council did adopt an ordinance which extended the life of the redevelopment plan by 1 year. It's now been determined that ordinance left a little bit of ambiguity with regards to that time extension, and there are two pieces to that. One is to for the redevelopment plan to be extended for 1 year, and the other one is for the time which is required to receive the tax increments. Also be extended for 1 year. So it extends it from 2031 to 2032. It clarifies that portion for the redevelopment plan. And then for the time to receive those tax increments, it extends it from 2041 to 2042. So that is the clarification to be made. And we're just asking that you waive this first reading tonight.
I do have one question. On item A, section 1, item A, on the first page of the ordinance.
Correct.
What is the relevance of the July 16, 2027? Is that a typo? Or is that relevant to something?
That is the correct time extension. There are the extensions because of the make sure I get this right, but
this was the original project area.
The 2027 date applies to the amended project area, and the 2032 extension applies to the original project area.
Correct.
And then the second date, the 2042 date, mm-hmm. applies to both, and that's for the receipt of tax increment.
To actually receive the funds.
Right. Reedley increased the size of their redevelopment area at one point. That was the amended area. And so those are the reasons for the two different dates on that portion of it. as far as the 2027-2032. The other one is the 2042, which is when both of them, we will no longer be able to receive tax increments after that date.
Okay, so the amended project area has a five-year shorter timeline than the original project area as far as...
As far as implementation,
okay,
and extension, that's true. But as far as receiving the tax increment, they both end the same time?
Okay. That was my question. Are there any other questions from the council?
And also, just to clarify, this is so that, to get this clarified, so that when we get ready to move forward with bonding, this is all clear and clarified for the investors.
This is a public hearing. Are there any public comments on this issue this evening? Okay, I'll close the public hearing. What is the council's pleasure?
My only question is, what can we do to, so we don't create that ambiguity in the future?
That's what we're doing. We're clarifying that right now with this change of the ordinance.
What did we do in the past that caused this?
The language was just left out as far as clarifying the extension for the both the amended area and the original area, as well as the tax increment,
okay,
the ability to receive tax increments.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? What is the council's pleasure?
Move to approve.
There a second?
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Cellino.
Yes.
Chavez.
Yes.
Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Under new business, with respect to the approval of ordinances and resolutions, the reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive a reading of the complete ordinance or resolution, and unless there is a request by a council member that the ordinance or resolution be read in full, further reading of the ordinance or resolution shall be deemed waived by unanimous consent of the council. And I would like to insert Sierra View Homes issue as 11B here. So we'll do that one first before we go on to the item 12. And that is a revision to conditions of approval for major revision to conditional use permit number 110, City Council Resolution number 2010-074.
Good evening, Mayor and members of council. We are presenting before you a consideration to approve modification of condition number 23 for major revision to conditional use permit number 110. That clarifies existing overhead utility undergrounding requirements in connection with the Sierra View Homes project. Just to give you a brief background, on August 24, 2010, City Council approved resolution number 2010-074 for the construction of a 52-unit senior apartment building and a memory care facility at Sierra View Homes. The city ordinance requires that all existing overhead utilities, as well as new utilities, be placed underground for projects involving land division. It has been a policy for the city to require existing utility lines be undergrounded for new development projects through the city's conditional use permit process. In that manner, condition number 23 of the conditions of approval for such project required undergrounding of all existing overhead utility lines and removal of all existing utility poles within the project site. The goal of this requirement was to enhance the safety and aesthetics of the community. However, in review of the construction plans for the proposed project, staff found that enforcement of the condition as written does not achieve the stated goal for safety and aesthetics. As condition, all existing poles and overhead lines on Pecan Avenue will be removed. On the other hand, if utilities along Springfield Avenue are placed underground, new utility poles would be required and placed on the north side of Springfield Avenue, resulting in a net increase of one utility pole on Springfield Avenue than presently. To conclude, staff recommends the City Council modify condition number 23 of resolution number 2010-074 to specify that all existing utility poles and overhead utility lines on Pecan Avenue be placed underground and that those along Springfield Avenue may remain in place. Available for any questions?
What is the cost difference in doing this?
Developer's engineer for this task is estimating about $250,000 in work.
With the change, it'll be $250,000?
Well, if we don't modify the condition, they would need to spend about $250,000 to underground those utilities. And on the other hand, it would not gain the city any benefit for doing that.
And with the changes that you're recommending, what will the cost be?
The changes that we're recommending is that we only required Sierra View Homes to underground the utilities along Pecan and not the ones on Springfield Avenue, and I'm not sure what the cost difference would be. If Beto, you have those numbers?
What, would you please come up to the microphone? I'm sorry. Would you please state your name and address for the record?
Vito Jenna, 1155 East Springfield. And we have been working with Gary Gansey, who is the California Utilities consultant, and he works directly with PG&E. And all along, for months, we've been working with him. And for months, we knew that we were going to underground the ones on Pecan, and that was our every intent. And basically, he assured us that PG&E would not force us to do anything with the Springfield poles. And so this was really a surprise, and just it's not doable. It would, you know, it would just raise the price of apartments that we wouldn't be able to sell them.
Thank you. Are there any funds available from PG&E to do undergrounding? Isn't there a
an undergrounding district?
Yes.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah, we do have funds available from PG&E, but those don't apply to private development. They only apply to city driven projects as part of our undergrounding districts.
Okay.
And my understanding, from what I understand from Beto's consultant, is that there is a category from PG&E that they do pitch in monies for private development, but they have to be certain length, and this project doesn't fall into that category. With the short length.
It's not far enough.
Yeah, it's not long enough.
Okay, is there any other ability of any alternative funding for Sierra View for this project that you're aware of?
Maybe RDA monies?
Actually, the purpose is to not have them underground the poles on Springfield. That saves them $200,000 over what the original conditional use permit was going to require them to underground, so they are actually going to be not spending the $200,000 of the $250,000. So that gets them to where they need to be dollar-wise, so that it makes fiscal sense for this project.
So, if it's not required now, can it be required later on?
If it's not required as part of this project, it would have to be done as part of one of our utility underground and district projects.
Currently, you can see, too, that these, if they were required to underground what they were asked to underground on Springfield, it would actually increase the number of poles on the street instead of decreasing, just because they're moving them from one side of the street to the other, mm-hmm. just to get the undergrounding accomplished. So we basically would be shooting ourselves in the foot with regard to aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to ask the question again, and I don't know, maybe it's not a part of this particular issue, but would there be any funds available to help Sierra View with this project? Maybe through the redevelopment? I don't know if that's something we can maybe look into.
They're not asking for that. They're just asking for relief from undergrounding on Springfield, and that's what we're providing them, the relief from that.
Okay. Okay. Are there any other questions from the council? Are there any questions from the public on this issue? Vito, do you want to make any other comments?
I'm thanking you first to bring it up as an emergency item on the agenda, and and I do appreciate you discussing it. Yeah, I mean, we would love to have the lines down, and certainly aesthetically, but to do that little short distance and still have the lines, you would have to double up on the pole, at the property line. It just doesn't make sense. So if the city were going to do, the whole street and redo the whole development, then maybe we could participate. But I just don't see that happening, because that whole area has telephone poles.
But from what I'm understanding, the $50,000 you had set aside in your plan, and that is an acceptable
yes.
amount?
The pecan, we do want it, because okay. that'll be on our property.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other comments from the public? Comments or questions from the council on this issue?
We don't have any concerns if we don't require them here and allow them not to underground them, that somebody else can come back and say, why them and not us?
No, because as was stated, this is somewhat counterproductive to
okay.
to do the undergrounding here.
Just so long as we cover our bases. Right. All right, that's all.
Do we have any other part of the city where we're participating in that PG&E program? And what's the plans? What's the future plans for that? Are we going to maybe one day look at the entire city going underground?
I guess that would be the goal, but it would be close to impossible to draw underground the whole city within our lifetime. But we are working on a few projects. As a matter of fact, the roundabout is one of them that. Right now we have already undergrounded Comcast and Verizon utilities, and PG&E is supposed to come follow up sometime in January. So sometime in January we'll see all those poles around the intersection removed and fully underground. Then we're also going to be undergrounding utility lines with our Frankwood Avenue project from north all the way to north city limits,
Parlier,
somewhere over there. And then with the Reed Avenue project, we're also going to be undergrounding within those project limits. And a lot of this funding, we're using them from Fresno County. Fresno County is pitching in to help us out because they're really costly. And we also have another underground district which involves Dinuba Avenue from from our roundabout intersection going east to the city limits, and that we're going to be doing with another project that we're hoping to get underway next year. And also, at this time, we're working also on forming I want to say is our fifth utility undergrounding district that we've forming in the city, and that would be for Buttonwillow from Dinuba Avenue going south to the city limits. So those are the districts that we're working with at this point.
Thank you, Noe.
Mayor, members of the council, a response to the previous question about other projects requesting similar modifications. We have had projects in the past where there were similar circumstances. Whenever possible, we want the utility lines to be put underground. If there are circumstances unique to the location where it doesn't make sense, we've recommended that we don't implement that standard or that condition. The best example would be Presidential Estates on, I believe it's Duff Avenue. In that case, there were utility lines on both sides of the street. The requirement would have been to put the utility lines on the south side of the street underground, leaving those on the north side up, which isn't achieving the policy of aesthetic enhancement and safety enhancement. And we look to, that would have to be considered an overall project. And in this case, we don't get to the details of construction until a certain point to be able to come to the realization that we're going to result in more poles if we enforce that modification. So we don't have an opportunity to get to this level of detail until we get this far into the project, and then these kind of things come up.
Any other questions from the council?
Excuse me.
The motion to approve if there's no other questions.
There's a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Chavez?
Yes.
Celino?
Yes.
Betancourt?
Yes.
Mayor Fast?
Yes. Item 12 is a resolution number 2010-090, a resolution amending the 2010-2011 budget for equipment parking and storage area paving at the wastewater treatment plant. Public Works.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. This evening, staff is recommending the adoption of resolution number 2010-090, authorizing a budget amendment that would transfer $40,000 from a sewer camera expenditure account for the purposes of dust mitigation, as well as establishing a year-round usable equipment parking and storage area. The recent expansion and construction at the wastewater treatment plant has resulted in a large unimproved area of dirt adjacent to the new buildings. As a cost savings measure, this area was left unimproved, as we anticipated that city crews could do this work ourselves. In the summer, this equipment storage area becomes dusty, and in the winter, the area becomes muddy and unusable. With this budget amendment, city staff would like to grade, compact, install base rock, and pave the area. Be happy to answer any questions you may have regarding the budget amendment.
So this is moving $40,000 from your sewer camera expenditure account?
Correct.
Will that allow you still to do at least part of that project?
Yeah, we did have some funds roll over from last fiscal year that we had in the sewer camera account. And so there still is a substantial, there's enough funding in the account to move forward with the videoing of the sewer mains.
So this is basically just moving from one capital expenditure account to
correct.
Another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mr. Robinson, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
This project here that you're trying to propose and to improve that, are you proposing to move a department over there?
We are going through long-term planning process at this point.
Your disposable?
That is a possibility.
Okay.
Whether that turns out to happen or not, we still need this area improved in order for it to be usable by wastewater treatment plant staff as well at this point, because it is just dirt and mud.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Okay. Any other questions from the council? Any questions from the public on this issue? Seeing none, what is the council's pleasure?
I'd like to approve
There a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Chavez.
Yes.
Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor Bass.
Yes. Item 13, resolution number 2010-091, a resolution amending the 2010-11 budget for Corporation Yard Building Rehabilitation. Russ, again.
Yeah, once again, this evening, staff is recommending the adoption of resolution number 2010-091. This would be authorizing a budget amendment that would provide $50,000 from the facilities DIF to rehabilitate the Corporation Yard building. The city of Reedy Corporation Yard is located 1108 South I Street. It is home to the street maintenance, fleet maintenance, electrical and disposal departments. These four departments have currently 19 employees. They all share this one building. The original building was built in the late 1940s. There was an office and break room added in the late 1960s. The building does not have central air conditioning or heating in it. This I threw in some pictures here real briefly, but this is an additional lunchtime area. Our break room that we do have in the building can comfortably seat about 10. Well, that's not even real comfortable, but so this is additional seating at lunchtime and at break time. A little embarrassed to say that these chairs were acquired during one of our citywide spring cleanups. So this is the break room. You can see the flooring is substantially worn out. Also in the bathrooms, you can see the flooring as well. The building has lacked attention for quite some time. This is the locker area for the personnel. These two pictures, this is inside the building. This is in the central area of the building. It looks almost like it's outside, but it is inside. There's bare concrete floors. It is not adequate to allow personnel to go in and change out of their uniforms and change into street clothing before they go home. This is an example of the lighting we have in the building. This also was a byproduct of a citywide cleanup that we retrofitted and put in the ceiling. So the guys have been pretty creative, and I hope this didn't belong to anybody, any member of the public that's here tonight. We did get it working again. It looks very nice, actually. What we're proposing with this $50,000 is to first add central air and heating to this building. It's not a large building. It's probably 100,000 square feet at a guess. It may even be 80. But we want to also add new flooring throughout the building. I put new shower room there. The shower room is existing. We just want to enlarge it to make it ADA compliant and also make it usable. A new sink in the break room. There is no sink in the break room, so we'd like to add that. And obviously rebuild the locker room area to make it usable. This would also bring the bathroom and shower into ADA compliance. And then also add a wash basin, if I can find the pointer here. There'd be a wash basin right there that the guys can wash up when they come through this door or come through this entrance. So we're looking at, you know, remodeling these restrooms up here, moving the shower out. One change that we're going to make is we're going to move this unisex toilet area, which would be a ladies' restroom. We're going to move this wall out like that, so a lady could change in the bathroom and go into the shower without having to, go outside into the common area. Be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Now, does this movement have to do anything with the building that we sold on, is it 8th Street, the brick building? So that was used by the parks. Now we're going to be moving the parks into this, back to the yard?
Yes and no. I mean, the plan is to move parks maintenance to the Corp Yard because of the sale of that building. So you are correct. Right. This remodel, it has to happen, you know, whether people move over there or not, because we currently have 19 employees sharing this facility, and it's it's just not adequate.
You know, it'd be nice to, when you're doing these projects, to give us the information as to why you're doing it. You know, I understand the reason that you might be able to move the disposal over to the wastewater treatment plant, and then this other project here. But it's also nice to have the true information as to why it's being done.
I'm obviously skirting your question because I thought it was premature to bring out some of our long-term planning out at this point. But you are on the right track, and some of these moves as far as how big we're making things do fall into our long-term plan that we'll share hopefully with you shortly.
Okay. And you can do all that for $50,000?
We are going to do the work ourselves, with the exception of contracting out specific elements such as the central heating and air conditioning.
Any questions from the council? Any other questions? Any questions from the public or concerns on this issue? Would you please come up to the microphone? Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Steve Aiello. My address is 474 East Alluvial, Fresno. I don't really have any questions or anything. I was just more concerned just if it was more of if the building was worth it for, you know, such amount of money to be spent on a building that, you know, was built in the late 1940s. I was just kind of wondering on the conditions of the building. Was there anything like... is there anything like maybe
asbestos?
Yeah. I'm just thinking, what if the building maybe needs to get torn down? You know, I work in a place where, you know, the buildings were built in the 1940s, and they have concrete roofs on them, and so, you know, I mean, it's like a safety issue. And didn't mean to bring you. I was just thinking maybe a relocation of whatever it was they were doing. I came in late. I didn't catch the beginning, but that was it.
Thank you for your comment. Are there any comments from staff, maybe to address some of his issues?
I'd like to modify the budget amendment to $1.4 million to... I wish we could. It is an old building. We are moving forward with our plans for the Central Valley Transportation Center that we are hoping that we can secure funding. It's very difficult right now to secure funding, but we're hoping that we can move forward with that, and with a matter of 5 to 10 years that comes to fruition, and that we can actually move out of the courtyard into that. So this is kind of like temporary fix, and we're doing it as cheap as we absolutely can because funds are very tight right now. So appreciate the comment, though. Thank you.
Mayor, I'd like to thank the young man, brother, the audience, to come up and say a few words. That's great. Thank you.
Any other public comment on this issue? Thanks, Russ. I think it's a good idea. Any other questions from the council? What is the council's pleasure?
Move to adopt resolution number 2010-091.
Second?
I'll second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Cellino.
Yes.
Chavez.
Yes.
Betancourt.
Yes.
Mayor Fast.
Yes. Item 14, council reports. Start with Councilman Solano.
Well, just to say that it was a great night or morning the other day at the runabout. I think there's a lot of people. We had a great attendance, and I think there was a great comments from the people who were there. Would have loved to have seen the critics attend, so we get their reaction. But I think we'll hear the great comments in the future, and we comment. We'd like to just say thank you to staff. It was a great project. That's all I have.
Okay. Councilwoman Betancourt?
No, I just would like to comment on the, I went on the COPS, the walk run. Was it last Saturday? Oh, time goes by so quick. It was very nice. It was the first one, and it was just really positive. There was a good turnout. The weather was beautiful. The walk was wonderful, and the food was good. And it was just wonderful to be there for such a good cause. Look forward to it next time, next year.
Mayor Pro Tem Chavez?
A couple things. I participated in the Downtown Association had a, I guess it was like an awareness night where they had the Secret Service made a presentation on counterfeit mm-hmm. money, and they asked me to make a presentation on identity theft fraud. It was really well attended. There was at least 30 people there. And also the roundabout, I was there for the ribbon cutting. That's about it.
I also attended the roundabout dedication, and I was glad to see a semi-truck go around that circle. And I'll be interested to hear the comments as the truckers make those rounds through there. So I think it'll be okay. I was a little bit wary at first, but to be honest with you. But it looks very nice. I think it was a nice design. I just would like to see something in the middle there at some point that would be aesthetically pleasing. Okay. also attended the Council of Governments meeting last Thursday, the COG meeting, and we did in fact approve using the Measure C funds. There are some Measure C funds that are going to be left over from the Highway 180 East project, and because of that, they're wanting to do some reapplication of funds. And there were a couple of alternatives to use that on Highway 180 East. The city of Fresno was pushing to have it be used on Veterans Boulevard for some right-of-way, getting some of the right-of-way on that project. And it turned out that it was voted to continue Highway 180 East out to actually to Frankwood Avenue. So that was a good vote that evening for the city of Reedley. There were a lot of people from Sanger that evening that came to the meeting to reiterate that Measure C back in the 80s was one of the main projects was Highway 180 East and Highway 180 West. And the West has been pretty much built out, and Highway 180 East has, for some reason, always been sidetracked. So this was a good thing, and for the East Side communities to have this go the way it did that evening. Also attended the police department dinner, and Chief, that's one of the most special evenings I've been at. Kind of a sombering night, but yet I think very encouraging to the officers and to all of us that attended that evening. Thank you. Also attended opening of a sausage making business. Dave Ettinger opened a business making German sausage across from Reedley Lumber, and they had a ribbon cutting on Saturday. Got to taste some good German sausage. the Korean monument was dedicated on November the 13th, and thank you staff and Sylvia, who's not here tonight, for Rocky for all of the work in coordinating that, and Russ for doing a lot of the road work and probably a lot of pickup and cleanup type of things that needed to be done to get that done. Very well attended by many of our community people and many Korean people, actually around the United States. There were people here from New York, from Washington State, San Francisco, LA, San Diego, and actually the country of Korea also. So there was a gentleman representing the Ministry of Patriots and Veterans Affairs for the Republic of South Korea, and his name was Jang Jeong Jo. I have trouble saying their names. Also, the Korean Consulate General in San Francisco, Consul General Lee, was there. And there was no one from the city of mayor. The mayor from the city of Tongyeong came a couple of months ago, so he was not able to come this time. But he sent a representative from the Los Angeles who is from that region. So he read a proclamation for the mayor of the city of Tongyeong City that is our sister city. And Dr. Cha, of course, was the kind of the coordinator of all of this weekend. And that's all that I had. Staff reports?
Thank you, Mayor. Chief Wright, I believe, was going to make some comments. Then I have a few.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council, I just wanted to thank you, for those of you who could make it to the dinner on Thursday night. Thank you very much for attending. And it was a very healing night for a lot of us, even though there was some somber moments. It's one of our steps in our healing process, and I've had nothing but good comments back from it, so we're pleased. Sometimes you never know if you're doing the right thing for folks, but it turned out to be a very good evening for everyone. I appreciate your attendance and participation.
Thank you, Chief. Council, we have just wanted to make some comments on the meeting that's going to take place Monday, November 29th, which is on the bicycle transportation plan update. Your council packet shows that it'll be at 6:30, but it actually is going to be from 5:00 to 7:00 here in the council chambers. So just for you to make that change, and that's just more of a walk-in, as public can walk in, ask questions, and those types of things. We also have been asked to provide a letter of support to with regards to the Governor's Office of Education or Economic Development, which is GOED, to become a line item in the budget so that they can actually set aside money for economic development for the state of California as a budget item. And we've been asked again by CalEd to support that as a line item. Your item with regards to State Route 180 East and also Veterans Boulevard, I spoke with Supervisor Case today. She mentioned that we need to make sure that we continue to stay vigilant with regards to that and bring a show of force for any future meetings, because the city of Fresno may possibly again try to go after money for 180 East to put towards veterans. And so we're asking businesses and the Chamber of Commerce here, our Reedy Downtown Association, and any other organization that would like to come and support those efforts as the meetings, any future meetings that may come forth from that. The Five Cities Board meeting, which was to be held in December, has been canceled. The December 27th meeting, that has been canceled. There will be a January meeting, so there will be no board meeting for the Five Cities group. And then I also wanted to ask council if you would wish to go dark on December 28th for the council meeting on that night and get your consensus on whether to go dark or whether to have a meeting. We do have possible council items for that night if you want to remain, keep that meeting, but we can also make other arrangements for those staff items.
We've always had a cancellation of that every year on closer to Christmas, but if there was a need for a meeting, we would meet. Mm-hmm. So that would be up to staff to give direction to council.
Yeah. We will bring that direction back to you on the 14th and firm up all of our staff reports that may be necessary, whether we have an earlier meeting or cancel the meeting altogether and move them to January. The last item is in your readings for citizens when they get up to make public comments, you ask them to limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. Council does have a discretion to extend that at any time you so choose. And staff is wondering if you would consider the opportunity for us to purchase a timer that would be remotely controlled, a 3-minute timer, so that citizens would know how much time they have for 3 minutes in order to do their speaking, which you can extend that again at your discretion. We would like to request consideration for staff to purchase a timer for council. It's actually a portable timer that can be taken to the community center for large events there for the same thing, as well as here.
Good idea.
Okay. And with that, I think we're done. We do have an RDA meeting shortly.
Yes, right, we do. There's no further business this evening. The meeting of the council is adjourned, and we'll take a 5-minute break, and then we'll go back to the redevelopment meeting this evening. I'd like to call the Reedley Redevelopment Agency meeting to order. Roll call.
Board Member Rapata. Celino.
Here.
Betancourt.
Here.
Chavez.
Here.
Chairman Fast.
Here. Public comment. Seeing that there's no public, do I need to read this?
Okay. Waive the council reading of the public comment.
No, you waive it.
Okay. Under consent.
Let the minutes reflect that it was read, though.
Yes, okay.
It was waived.
No, it was read. under consent agenda category, recommended course of action for each item is made. Any board member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the board can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. Is there anyone that would like to remove an item from the consent agenda?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Call for the question.
Board Member Celino.
Yes.
Chavez.
Yes.
Betancourt.
Yes.
Chairman Fast.
Yes. New business, none. Board reports. Any member have a report?
What was the final outcome on the election as far as the propositions of the state not taken away from cities and counties?
For Prop 22, that passed.
It passed?
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's
any
all
other,
I have.
Any other reports? Okay, staff reports?
No staff reports.
Well, again, we should have done that first and then gone to closed session, huh? Okay, sorry about that. Okay, we will close the redevelopment meeting, the public portion, and we will go into closed session at this time.